Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of the United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30 and California's is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. This Sunday we will start looking at some of the symbols of the Christmas season. There are so many like candy canes, wreaths, stockings, and poinsettias. We'll look at what candy canes specifically today to see what they can teach us about the story of Jesus' birth as well as encourage us each and every day. Last night while shopping for Christmas, Betty and I saw lots of different colors and flavors of candy canes. Legend has it that candy canes first originated in Germany in the late 1600s. The candy cane can form the letter J when it is turned upside down, which represents the first letter of Jesus' name. Betty and I spent a lot of time discussing the names of all three of our girls. Each one is special and means something. In Isaiah 7 and Isaiah 9, we see several of the names attributed to Jesus. Emmanuel, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. In the Gospel, he's called the Light of the World, the Great Shepherd, the Way, the Truth, the Life, the Resurrection, and Lord. Each one brings a special meaning to us at different times in our lives. In Matthew 2:11, the angels announce that a Savior has been born to us. Have you made him your Savior and your Lord? No better time than Christmas to make those eternal decisions. I look forward to worshiping with all of you during this Advent and Christmas season. May God bless you with his glory and peace this week. Thank you for listening.
The Jay and Connie Bestian family have our call to worship, including lighting of the second Advent candle.
Peace. Picture a man named Abraham. He was 75 years old and married to Sarah, who was also well along in years. They had been married for a lifetime, yet they had no children. God came to Abraham in his old age and said,
"Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you."
Let's be clear. God was asking a lot of Abraham. Leave everything you know and go to a place I will show you. Put your trust in me, and I will bring you to a place that will someday be known as Canaan. I will make you a great nation. You don't have any children yet, but just trust me, you will. Yes, God asked a lot of Abraham, but God promised Abraham even more. He promised descendants, blessings, and protection on the journey. God asked a lot, promised a lot, and Abraham had faith. As he embarked on his journey, he put his trust in God, and God gave him peace. The peace that filled Abraham as he embarked on a well-unknown, dangerous, and difficult journey is the same peace that God offers to us today in the midst of our unknown, dangerous, and difficult journey. God asks a lot, but he promises so much more. What peace.
Today we relight the candle of hope. Now we light the candle for the second Sunday in Advent. This is the candle of peace. As we prepare for the coming of Jesus, we remember that Jesus is our hope and our peace. From the prophet Isaiah, "For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." From the Gospel of John, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid."
Gracious God, grant that we may find peace as we prepare for our Lord's birth. May divisions in ourselves and in our families be peacefully resolved. May there be peace in our cities and in the countries of our world. Help us to see the paths of peace in our lives, and then give us the courage to follow them. Lord, let us remember that you only are the giver of lasting peace, and that you are always with us. Amen.
Pastor Cobb leads our children's time.
Hey, next Sunday, don't forget, I've already had one person ask me, next Sunday is Sunday Rock. So after children's time, we'll go downstairs and with Miss Betty and Miss Ron, and we'll have a children's time for, or rock time for you guys after this time next Sunday. So don't forget and bring your friends. So hey, what is this right here? It's a Christmas tree, isn't it? Man, I love Christmas trees. Right after church today, Betty and I are going to go get our Christmas tree. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in the sermon. But what's missing from this Christmas tree? Ornaments. What else?
Lights.
Lights are missing.
Star.
Missing a star, something on the top. All right. It's a neat looking tree. I mean, it's nice. All right. But it doesn't have what? All the decorations of that tree right there. That's a beautiful tree right there, isn't it? Just beautiful. Have you guys, anybody got their Christmas tree up at home?
Yeah.
All right, good deal. And you know how beautiful it is. But see, like with a Christmas tree, it's pretty, but there's things missing. And when we live as Christians, our life needs to be decorated with things so that people know that we're a Christian. So we put our lights on here. I'm going to say these are lights, all right? That kind of represents the lights of Jesus. He's the light of the world. He's the light for us, all right? So that kind of also represents that we want to be reading our Bibles, all right? Then we also have an ornament here. It's got a little child or baby on that. That talks about that we need to be helping others out. That's part of being a Christian, is not only reading our Bibles, but helping others out. We got this ornament here. We're going to make that represent that we need to pray regularly, pray to God regularly like that. And then also, what makes Christmas trees the most special is what?
Presents,
right? We got to have a present underneath the tree. But that present does no good unless what? Present does no good unless we open it, does it?
Yeah.
We don't know what's in it. All right, Jesus has a present for us, but we've got to open it. How do we open that present? All right, we open that present by coming to church. We learn about Him. We pray. We ask Him to guide us and direct us, and we ask to be one of His children, and we follow Him. And that's that gift. And then we pass that gift on to others by inviting in the church and being our friend and telling them about Jesus, okay? So let's pray, okay? Father, thank you for this time of the year. Thank you for the beauty of it. Thank you for the children, what makes it so special. I pray, Father, that you guide them, protect their hearts, their minds, and their bodies. Help them to be special places for your Spirit to reside, and help them be your servants. Help them to know that they're loved. And help us, Father, to live our lives as gifts to those around us as we give our lives to you, our King. We ask this all in your name. Amen. Thank you guys for coming.
Grace Damp reads our scripture lessons, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon, A Charlie Brown Christmas.
Good morning. Will you please join me in the prayer for illumination? Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us in the waiting, the watching, the hoping, the longing, the sorrow, the sighing, and the rejoicing. Speak to us by your word in these Advent days, and walk with us until the day of your coming. Amen. The first lesson comes from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 9 through 15. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from the heaven and do not return for it, without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields the seed from the sower and the bread of the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into songs before you, and all the trees of the fields will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow in the juniper, and instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. The second lesson comes from Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as the crystal, flowing from the throne of God and from of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its every fruit every month. Then the leaves of the tree for the healing of the trees are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads. There will not be no more night. They will not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Here ends the lesson.
Thank you, Grace. This morning, we're going to be looking at the symbols of Christmas. We're going to be looking at that the next few Sundays. I use the children's Bible that we've been giving out. If you'd like to have one of those to give out to a friend or a grandchild, or if you're a guest with us and you want one for your one of your children, please pick those up. We got a couple of them in the back. I think I'll bring this one back with me when I come. And we're just having a real good response to that. People are really reading Scripture and seeing their children read Scripture, which is what I think is important. All right, I love live Christmas trees. I've told you about that past sermons. You know, I'm not real big on mandates, but if I was a leader, I'd mandate a live Christmas tree in every house. All right, I've already had pushback back at Salem, but man, I love the live Christmas tree. I love going out and cutting our own tree. That's what we're going to do today. And, you know, we'd get the kids together and we would run around and decide which tree we're going to get. And when you look at different TV shows that you grow up this time of year, my generation, you know, Frosty the Snowman, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, one that's come up now that's on first thing soon as Thanksgiving. I think Thanksgiving night it was on, Christmas Vacation with Chevy Chase. You know, it's got the Christmas tree in it. You know, it starts over with him cutting down this, you know, ridiculously big tree and then the tree burning down. Then he cuts down his neighbor's tree and he kind of loses it on Christmas Eve and everything. But the show that I love most, the one that I've got to look at and watch and I love is the Charlie Brown Christmas, because it's about a Christmas tree. You know, Charlie Brown, like everything, he kind of makes a fiasco of it, doesn't get the right tea. Everybody's blaming him, and he brings this tree in, and then we see Linus step out and tell us the real meaning of Christmas. Charles Schulz was asked to do this special with one condition, that they read the gospel story on TV. The execs were a little resistant to that, but he was firm. He said, if I'm going to do this, we're going to read the story of Jesus on TV, and I'm so thankful that he did. But if we look at this here this morning, when we look at the symbol of the Christmas tree, what can it teach us? What can we look when we look at the Christmas tree? What can it help us with our faith? Because we see the tradition of the Christmas tree, or the evergreen tree, has been around for generations and years. And so we see that the tradition of actually having a Christmas tree as part of Christmas started with the Germans back in the 16th century. And we got a lot of that heritage in our community and surrounding area. It came to the United States in the early 1800s, and for many years, it was frowned upon. Anything additional to the Christmas story, like carols or candy canes or Christmas trees, some towns outlawed them. But why the Christmas tree? Some of the traditions that they have is that it's in the shape of a triangle, and that tells us a little bit about the Trinity. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. It's in the shape of a triangle. Sometimes in our case, it's a fat triangle, not the narrow, perfect triangle when we get the tree at the tree farm. But we also see that the needles are pointed upward, pointing us to heaven, to less remind us that in the midst of darkness and cold and short light period of days, that there is still hope to look forward and look up to heaven. I don't know about you, but when you were in school, in our days, we had different types of decorations. We did the popcorn strings. We'd pop popcorn and we'd make strings and we'd string that, and then we'd get the construction paper and make the little circle chains that we would band together. You had the silver and the gold tinsel to give it some beauty and give it some stuff. And then Martin Luther, the famous Martin Luther, came up with the idea one night of walking home. He saw the moonlight and the starlight glistening off a frosted Christmas tree and thought, boy, it'd be nice to put lit candles as lights on Christmas tree. That would just be beautiful, and I'm sure it was until the first one caught fire and burned down, but that was how lights got on tree. It was through Martin Luther, and so the Christmas tree has been a big part of what our celebration of Christmas is all about. And as we read those scriptures, or Grace read those scriptures, we see that trees are prominent in Scripture. We're going to look at three trees this morning to remind us of Christmas season, of what trees remind us in our faith. And the first one we see is in Genesis chapter 2, starting with verse 8. And there's a place in your bulletin if you want to write down some of the scriptures and use them for different times to have devotions or to just be reminded of the service. But when God created the garden, the first thing that he mentions is trees. Look at verse 8. So the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for the food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Man, the garden was filled with trees.
I've told you before, I love planting trees. I've only planted a few. Jerry Wolfram, and remind me, don't plant trees on Sunday. I've written that one down for a future use. Jerry, it saved me. My tree is still growing right now, my pink dogwood. I've not gotten to plant a lot, but at our former place, I planted all kinds of trees. God was the same way. He planted all kinds of trees, ones that were pleasing, but he had two trees specifically that he mentioned. And the first tree that we look at, we skip down to verse 15, or verse 16, and he said, the Lord commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, peach tree, apple tree, any of the trees that you want, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. So of all the trees that he had there, he told him, he says, you can have every tree that you want, but you can't eat from this one tree. And being human nature, anytime we're told that we can't do something, that kind of begins a little curiosity about why we can't. And we see that what this tree represents is disobedience. God only had one command. Man, it's not like in the Old Testament, we had 10 of them, then all the other ones they added on. We feel like we're weighed down with all these things that we've got to memorize and remember. Adam and Eve had one. Don't eat from that tree right there. One person has said that the Bible is the story between two trees. The tree of knowledge of good and evil in Genesis and the tree of life in Revelation chapter 22. We're going to talk about that one in a second. But this tree represents our willingness to disobey God and walk away from, just like Adam and Eve did. It set in motion the whole idea of God sending his son, the birth of Christ in the form of a baby to take care of the sin, the price of sin in our lives. But this one act of disobedience brought death, it brought separation, and it brought a path to us that we have to find our way back to God. So we have that first tree, the first tree of disobedience. It was willing disobedience. It wasn't an accident. He made a choice to visibly and actively disobey God. And that happens in our lives too. We know what the Word says. We know what the life that we should live. May we decide to watch something. May we decide to participate in something. May we decide to fudge on a few things in our lives. Maybe that's our tree of disobedience. But then we come to the second tree. We see it in Luke chapter 23. It's actually an item made out of a tree. We see it in Luke chapter 23 when Jesus has lived on this world. He comes to that moment when he is going to be crucified. And that crucifixion, that cross, was made out of the wood from a tree. And in verse 33 it says, when they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers also came and mocked him. They offered him wine and vinegar and said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice above him which read, this is the king of the Jews. So we come to the second tree. The tree that produced the cross on which Jesus was crucified. This tree represents the price that was paid for our disobedience. So we have the first tree that shows the willing decision that we make to walk away from God. But then God provides a second tree for us then to come and have the price paid. And this is a tree that we all must come to if we're going to receive forgiveness. When Jesus is on that cross, on that tree, we see from his seven sayings all the things that he addresses when he's on the cross. He talks about his humanity when he mentions that he's thirsty. He remembers his family when he tells John to look after his mother. He takes care of the man next to him. He says that today you're going to be with me in paradise. He offers forgiveness to the ones who are willingly killing him. And then at the very end, he says, it is finished. He knew this was the reason that he was here. But I think the most impactful, the most poignant for us to respond to is when he says, Father, why have you forsaken me? At that moment on that tree, for the first moment, the first time and the only time in his life, Jesus is separated from his Father. From the beginning of time, they had been in unity, and from that moment on, they would be in unity. For that one moment in time, he was separated, and why? Because of the price of sin. He took your sin, he took my sin, he took the sins of the world, put it upon him, and that made him sinful in the eyes of God. And because of that tree, we have new life. 1 Peter says it this way. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. Galatians 3 says that anyone that hung on a tree was cursed. Jesus was cursed for us so that we could then experience the third tree. And you find it in Revelation chapter 22. Beth has already read a part. I'm just going to read the first few verses of it again. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The tree that Adam and Eve were separated from, the tree that we've been separated from, the tree that we're only going to experience if we live faithful lives for Him, the tree of life. Why? Because it brings healing of the nations. It brings healing in your life and my life. Like we've said in the last couple Sundays, we will never be truly perfectly made whole until we step from this life into eternal life with Him. Because then the healing of the nations will take place. The healings of your hurts, the healings of your painful losses, the healing of your bitter defeats, your bitter failures. That healing comes, and it's the ultimate goal. And this tree represents the bringing of eternal life and the promise of eternal life with God and His Son Jesus, and that it bears fruit and that our lives are to bear fruit as well. If you're hurting right now, you've got to come to the cross to get that forgiveness. And once you come to the cross, look forward to that tree that will give us the healing that we need to be made completely whole in His image. But you know, no tree is completely whole until it's decorated. Yesterday, we started the process of bringing all the tubs up from the basement, one at a time. I still haven't got all the tubs up to the house, up to the living room yet. All right, in preparation for the Christmas tree that's going to come hopefully this afternoon, bringing all the tubs up. But then when we get to that Christmas tree, we bring out the lights and we start putting the lights around the tree. And that's the foundation that we have, because Jesus is the light of the world. And to me, there's no beauty more special at Christmas time than when you've got that tree beautifully lit, you've got that tree beautifully decorated, and you turn off all the other lights in the house, and the only thing shining is the lights of that Christmas tree. Everybody else has gone to bed. The TV's off. All the sound is gone. You might hear the humming of something in, you know, some electronical device. But for the moment, things are calm and things are peaceful. And you see the beauty that light brings. 1 John 1 says it this way. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. But if we walk in light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The foundational thing that we put on a Christmas tree is lights. We put it on first. It's hard to put it on after we started putting decorations on. I think we've tried from time to time when we get messed up, but it doesn't look good, and it's not really the right way to do things. But the basis of our lives is to make sure Jesus is the light of our lives. The second thing that we get to is then we start putting on our personal decorations. We got the foundation done. If you were at my house, we have each have ornaments that we're responsible for. These are my ornaments that I'm responsible for. Of course, the first one to be put on is my Troy Aikman decoration, number 8, all right? My second one is my Larry Bird decoration, all right? My third one is my Mountain Dew bottle. This is the right order. The fourth one is the pickle, all right? Long story right there, but if you find the pickle first on Christmas Day, you get to open your present first. The fifth one is a turkey. The sixth one is a deer. And then after that, of course, are the pictures of the kids. I have my order the correct way, all right? But your tree is done to your satisfaction, the way that you want to do it. Romans 12 talks about how our lives are decorated. God gives us each different gifts so that people see what kind of tree that we are. You know, I kind of spread my decorations out a little bit to know that, there's my interests. But God has blessed each one of us with different gifts that we are to use, that people are to see from the life of our lives, that our tree is decorated this way, that we have these gifts that we share with those around us. Maybe you have the gift of encouragement, the gift of sharing, the gift of teaching, the gift of music, the gift of just being there for someone when they need something that no one else thinks about or remembers. But we are to use our gifts and decorate the tree of our life so people know that our lives represent Christ. to put on the decoration of prayer, to put on the decoration of love, to put on the decoration of perseverance and peace and hope and love. And each one of us have different gifts, but our lives are to be represented with Christ as the light. And the third thing that makes a Christmas tree special is, of course, the gifts that we put underneath them. In our house, we have gifts that we wrap and are there from whenever time we wrap until they're open. We have gifts that magically appear on Christmas morning. That's the way I was raised in my house, and we have the same thing in our house, that there's magical gifts that just show up on Christmas morning. But the gifts that we've, you know, bought and put together, we've wrapped and we've gone out and spent them. Betty came home last night and she told me, says, I don't want to even tell you what I spent. She says, I'm hiding the receipts from you, all right? You won't know until after Christmas. I want to be with each one of you guys when you open up your credit card bills for January, all right? I want to see if you have the same image on your face when I open mine up, all right? And I look at it because it doesn't feel that bad right now, does it? Man, we're going out shopping. We're feeling good. We're getting the things. We're looking forward to that time when people are going to open it up and be excited and be happy. And then 2 weeks later, we get that little statement in the bill. Oh, that's what that costs. That's what that is. The Bible talks about debt. It talks about the debt that we are to owe. Look what he says in Romans 13. Verse 8, Paul writes there. He talks about the only debt that we are to have, and this isn't about financial stuff. It says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Don't let your physical gifts replace the love that comes from Christ for those in your family, in your circle of influence, and in your community. It's a good time to maybe try to bridge those gaps maybe that have come divided of friends and family and other people in your lives. He says it's a debt that we can never repay. It's a debt that we continually live because it's the debt of love for one another. You know, I love the story of Charlie Brown Christmas. Charlie gets his name on it. He gets all the credit. But the star of the show is who? Linus. It's Linus. He's the unexpected hero. He's the one that steps from off stage to main stage. He's the one that steps out of the shadows into the light, and he makes all the difference. In Luke chapter 1, this is what is said about the unsung hero of the gospel message, John the Baptist. He says, and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. Man, Linus doesn't get top billing. John the Baptist doesn't get top billing except in the eyes of God. But both of them stepped out of the shadows, off stage, onto the main stage, and they made a difference. Is God asking you to step out of the darkness and into the light to make a difference this Christmas season? Is he putting something on your heart? There's someone that needs to hear the message. Someone just needs a gift taken. There's someone that needs just a word of encouragement. And it was Linus. When everybody else was chastising Charlie Brown and the whole group was against him, it took one person to step out and read the gospel message. And then he wrapped his blanket, his own blanket, around the base of that tree and made all the difference. Just like in the story of the Charlie Brown Christmas, a bare Christmas tree is like a life without Jesus. No decorations, no light, no love that surrounds it. You may have an artificial tree made up with things of the world that looks good on the outside, but on the inside there's no life whatsoever. When you look at the Christmas trees that are here, I ask you, in the Christmas tree of your life, put on the light of Jesus in your life. Wrap love around it. Accept the free gift of forgiveness that is offered, the present that's at the base of the tree that you need to offer and open up and have applied to your life. And let the light of God's love shine into your life today. But this gift does no good if you don't open it. Don't let another Christmas season go by. It's a special time for people. People get reintroduced to the church. They come to Christmas programs. They come to the point, and maybe there's just one little glimpse or one little part of the Holy Spirit's going to touch their hearts and their minds to say, hey, I need to check out the church one more time. May that'll happen through your light shining, your gift being given to them next door. But if you've never taken that moment to let the light of Jesus shine in your life, let this be the moment when you confess his name, when you change your lifestyle, when you believe in, you follow him, you obey him in the grave of baptism, and you let that light shine in your life, and so that you know that you can not only come to the cross, but you have the tree of life that brings healing to your life. If you have questions about how to open that gift, let's talk, and let's make this Christmas season the best season yet in your life.